Egad!
The children could hear the shopkeeper's surprised voice from several aisles over. Lou, the kids aren't here. Keep an eye out for them.
What do they look like? The delivery person called back.
They look like three innocent children, the shopkeeper said. But they're really vicious criminals. Be careful.
The children ran around a corner and ducked into the next aisle, pressing themselves against a rack of construction paper and canned peas as they listened to the hurrying footsteps of the delivery person.
"Wherever you murderers are," he called, "you better give up."
"We're not murderers," Violet cried in frustration. "Of course you're murderers," the shopkeeper answered. "It says so in the newspaper." "Plus,"
the delivery person said in a sneering voice,
"if you're not murderers, why are you hiding and running?"
Violet started to answer, but Klaus covered her mouth before she could say anything more.
"They'll be able to tell where we are by our voices," he whispered. "Just let them talk, and maybe we can escape."
"Lou, do you see them?" called the shopkeeper. "No, but they can't hide forever," the delivery person said. "I'm gonna look over by the undershirts."
The Baudelaires looked ahead of them and saw a pile of white undershirts that happened to be on sale. Gasping, the children doubled back and ran down an aisle covered in ticking clocks.
"I'm going to try the clock aisle," the shopkeeper cried. "They can't hide forever."
The children hurried down the aisle, sprinted past a rack of towel racks and piggy banks, and scurried around a display of sensible plaid skirts. Finally, over the top shelf of an aisle containing nothing but different kinds of bedroom slippers, Violet spotted a glimpse of the exit and silently pointed the way to her siblings.
"I bet they're in the sausage aisle," the shopkeeper said.
"I bet they're near the bathtub display,"
the delivery person called. "They can't hide forever,"
the shopkeeper cried. The Baudelaires took a deep breath and then bolted toward the exit of the Last Chance general store. But as soon as they got outside, they realized the shopkeeper was right. The sun was rising, revealing the flat and desolate landscape the children had walked across all night. In a few hours, the entire countryside would be covered in sunlight, and the land was so flat that the children would be seen from far, far away. They couldn't hide forever. And as Violet, Klaus, and Sunny stood outside the Last Chance general store, it seemed that they couldn't hide for even one more instant.
"Look,"
Klaus said, and pointed in the direction of the rising sun. Parked a ways from the store was a square grey van with the letters VFD printed on its side.
"That must be the Volunteers Fighting Disease," Violet said. "The delivery person said only he and the volunteers were allowed in the area."
"Then they're the only way we can hide," Klaus said. "If we can sneak aboard that van, we can escape from the police, at least for now."
"But this might be the right VFD, Violet said. "If these volunteers are part of the sinister secret the Quagmire triplets tried to tell us about, we might be going from a bad situation to a worse one."
"Or," Klaus said, "it might get us closer to solving the mystery of Jacques Snicket. Remember, he said he worked as a volunteer right before he was murdered."
"It won't do us any good to solve the mystery of Jacques Snicket," Violet said, "if we're in jail."
"Lucien,"
Sunny said. She meant something along the lines of, "we don't have much choice." And in small, tottering steps, she led her siblings toward the VFD van.
"But how will we get on the van?" Violet asked, walking alongside her sister.
"What will we say to the volunteers?" Klaus asked, hurrying to catch up.
"Impro,"
Sunny said, which meant, "we'll think of something."